Bibles, I hope you bring your Bibles. I always bring mine too, but I always put them up here on the scriptures on the big screen as well. But I want you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 22 and Luke chapter 6. And this is where I felt like the Lord led me this week to bring this message. And the message is, I entitled it, Mind the Gap. And I'll explain that here in just a second. But I want you to look at somebody that's sitting next to you and look at them and say, you have gaps. Everybody participate, all right? You have gaps. Now I want you to say this back to them. Say, you have gaps. Okay, both of you say it. And then just say, I have gaps. I have gaps. I just want to start this off this morning to let us all know that every one of us in this room, I don't care how perfect you think you are, we all have gaps, okay? We all have gaps in our lives. And so I titled this message, Mind the Gap. Now, let me explain this. And you see the background that I have up there for the PowerPoint. The London Underground, this is where this term, Mind the Gap, comes from. The London Underground, affectionately known as the Tube, it's a subway system, is the oldest rapid transit system in the world. In 1968, over 100 years after the system opened, a recorded voice was installed to warn travelers to watch out for the space between the platform and the train, instructing people to mind the gap. Everybody say, mind the gap. Okay? Each time a train stops system-wide, you'd hear that, mind the gap, telling people to make that step over that gap from the platform into the train. They even, if you go over in London, they have T-shirts and everything that say, mind the gap on it. It's kind of, in comedy routines, they use it all the time over there, mind the gap. And the phrase can also be one of the most powerful weapons in your arsenal, and this is the rallying cry for you to explore what's missing, what's not there, and what could be, all right? So everybody say, mind the gap again. That's what we're going to learn today. And Ezekiel 22, verse 30 is our foundational scripture that we're going to use on this today. And this is where the prophet Ezekiel said, I looked for someone. This is what God spoke to him. He says, I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it, but I found no one. Now, eventually, Jesus became the gap man. Jesus is the gap man. And GAPS, the acronym for GAP, is God Answers Prayer, okay? Ezekiel 22, verse 30. That's our foundational scripture. So if you're taking notes on the back of your bulletin there, you can write down GAP stands for God Answers Prayer. Now, I'm going to give you a little story here before we really get into the message part. And this is from a pastor. His name was Dr. Peter Lord. Told us the story of driving past a billboard advertisement. And he's since, just past March is when this gentleman went home to be with the Lord. He passed away at the age of 91. He was a Baptist pastor, a great man of God. Some of you may have heard of him. Dr. Peter Lord says that he was talking to a couple of younger pastors before he passed away, and he told them the story of driving past a billboard advertisement for a $60 million lottery jackpot. And see, he sincerely prayed to God, Lord, give me the numbers, and I'll give every penny to missions. He admitted that he really believed God would give him the numbers, and he received this answer from the Lord. By the way, if you pray that prayer, you can tithe to Harvest Fellowship Church if you receive those numbers, okay? But he said this is what he received from the answer from the Lord when he was praying for the numbers. And this is what the Lord spoke to him. If I thought gold could change the world, I would have sent gold instead of my son. I was like, whoa, that's powerful. And God's principle means for accomplishing his will on the earth is man. What's supposed to fill that gap up there that I put up there is not money, but man. We all the time think, especially in Christian circles, we think, man, that gap would be a lot closed if we had the money. No, we need people. We need more laborers in the harvest. And everybody said, amen. There is no plan B. We are the answer, and it's not an issue of money, but it's an issue of willingness. And so I want you to, we're going to say this three times this morning, all right? You got audience participation. Say this, I am a gap filler. I am a gap filler. I am a gap filler. Okay, good. All right, and here's the deal. Where this starts at is not just out on the mission field. Some of you may be called to the mission field, but where it starts at is at home, for you to be the gap filler at home. Amen. And you're going to notice that it's easy to pass up gaps in other people, like just, you know, people that you see like at a gas station or whatever, and somebody gets on your nerves or something like that, and you're able to pass up that gap pretty quick because you see a gap in them. But then you can ignore it. But at home with your spouse, with your wife, with your husband, you see that gap, and oh my gosh, you know, it's huge, this huge gap. And God wants us to be a gap filler, all right? So look at somebody and say, I'm a gap filler. All right, this is what Jesus was. Jesus was the gap man, or he was the ultimate gap filler. In Romans 8:34, it says this, Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Jesus is the gap man. And his ministry, even today, right now, is he's interceding for us, you and I, to fill that gap. All right? That's what he's interceding for. And he's been doing that, and he's going to continue to do that. And that's his ministry right now. And so here's what intercession is. This is all going somewhere, okay? Stay with me. Intercession, when it talks about Jesus interceding for us, this is what intercession is. It's mediation, arbitration, intervention, and interposing in behalf or on behalf of another. That's what intercession is. God wants us to get hooked up with him and being gap fillers and be people of intercession. All right? And it's not just through praying. We always think of intercession as prayer, and I'm holed up in my closet and praying for 3 hours. No, you can intercede just in a relationship with somebody and fill that gap. And we're gonna talk more about this as we go along. So if you're on God's team, which I hope every one of us in here are on God's team, if you showed up on this Memorial Sunday, you're on God's team. Amen. All right. If you're on God's team, God wants you to be an intercessor. All right. But here's the problem, and a lot of Christians fall into this, and I'm going to tell you this right now, I have fallen into this as well. And we're seeing this in society today. I believe this is a right now word from God, is we're seeing this. The enemy is the accuser. We got lots of people accusing everybody of different things. I was telling a pastor friend of mine, this is funny, but I was telling a pastor friend of mine, I said, you know what? I said, man, you know, social media, one of the things that it lets us all know is how many people, and excuse my language, but I'm going to use it, this is redneck, is it lets us know how many people are butthurt. And I was telling this pastor that, and this pastor looked at me like, he's from Eastern Oklahoma, he's in the city life up there, and he had no idea what I was talking about. He said, butthurt? And I was like, yeah, but I said, in fact, I'm thinking about doing a series at my church called Overcoming Butthurts. and so now we send memes back to each other. He's been sending me memes before that says, you know, he'll find a meme that says butt hurt on it. And he just thought that was the funniest thing ever when I told him that. I was like, yeah, there's a lot of people like that, and a lot of Christians are like that right now. And people are getting caught up in this, and because we're seeing there's a lot of gaps today, guys. I mean, I see it. There's gaps in our president. There's gaps in our government. There's gaps in our communities. There's gaps at work. There's gaps in our marriages. There's gaps in our families. There's gaps in your pastor. Not much, but there's a few gaps in your pastor. You know, but that there's just gaps everywhere. Everywhere you look, there's gaps. And we can't get, if we're on God's team, we're going to be a person of intercession. But when we get over on the enemy's team, we join forces with him and we start agreeing with him and we become accusers. And we've got to stop doing it. Look at somebody and say, we need to stop it. All right. This is, the enemy is the accuser. And I'm preaching to myself today too. Revelation 12:10 says this about the enemy. It says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven said, now has come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. That's the enemy's, that's his ministry. If you want to give him a ministry, that's all he does is accuse you to God day and night. Accuses you to yourself, too, that you're full of guilt, shame, condemnation, and all that stuff. And so accusation is to condemn, denunciate, censure, complain, blame, and to reproach. That's what accusation means, all right? So now I'm establishing this, that We're either one or two. We're either on God's team and interceding, or we're on the enemy's team and we're accusing. And even as a Christian, you can be on the enemy's team. And everybody said, and we got to get off his team and get on God's team. Here's the definition of a gap. A gap is the space that exists between what is and what ought to be. All right, I'm going to say that again. Definition of a gap, because I know some of you are taking notes. A gap is the space that exists between what is and what ought to be. And in your walk with God, all right, in your walk with the Heavenly Father, we have a relationship with Him. And then also in your walk, you have a relationship with other people. This is going to be the hardest thing that you're going to come across. The hardest gap to handle is the space that exists between our expectations of a person's behavior and their actual behavior. That's one of the hardest gaps to handle. When you think that person should be acting a certain way and they're not, and you're like, my gosh, you got a gap as big as the Grand Canyon, you know? And here's the deal. You're not the gap filler, okay? God is. And so what you have to do to help them fill that gap is not point it out and say, my gosh, you got a gap as big as Grand Canyon, like I just said. What you need to do to them is keep your mouth shutty, and pray for them and love them in your relationship with them. Love them right where they're at and help them fill that gap. And everybody said, and your life will be a whole lot better when you do that, I promise you. I've tried to be Holy Spirit Junior, and I'm not very good at it, right? And how many of you tried to use scriptures on your spouse? Yeah, that don't work, okay? Thank you. I got one honest man back here. I've done it to myself. Will's being honest this morning in the house of God, the rest of your line, is because we've all done that. I've done it, you know, and God's like, no, Mark, you need to focus on your own gaps and you just pray and love your wife, your spouse, love Jada. She's back in the back with the grandkids this morning where she wants to be. But you need to love her right where she's at to help fill that gap, because we all have gaps. And like I said earlier, the gaps that you're going to see the most are the people that are closest to you, your spouse, your family, extended family, church family. I know some of y'all's gaps in here. All right, well, moving right along. Okay, here's the next one. Four things about the gaps in others. All right, number one, they're easy to see. Amen? They are. Number two, they're easy to judge. Then number three, they're very easy to misjudge. And number four, it's impossible for you to fill those gaps. You're not the Holy Spirit Junior. Those are the four things about gaps in others. Now, here's the other scripture that I wanted to get to in Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6, verses 41 through 42, this is Jesus speaking, and he says, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye,' when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you'll be able to see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Powerful scripture. And that's basically Jesus saying, you need to love people right where they're at, and you're not the Holy Spirit Junior, but if you'll love people right where they're at, pray for them, you know, then you're going to be able to help them remove that speck as well. But that's how you do it. You don't do it by pointing it out and saying you got a gap as big as, you know, the Grand Canyon. And so here are three responses. We're going to get to the main point of this message here in just a second. The three responses to gaps we see: we either ignore them, we accuse, or we intercede. And so those are the three responses to gaps that we see. It's easy to ignore when you don't know somebody very well at all, and you're able to ignore that gap, okay? But then when we get into a closer relationship, maybe it's in our spouse, family, somebody you work with, church family, it's easier to get over into the enemy's camp and start accusing. But where we want to be is we want to be in that place of the response to a gap that we see is to intercede. And that's when you're becoming spiritually mature. And everybody said, amen. So our role model is Jesus, the gap man. And this is how Jesus filled gaps. I'm just going to point out a few. They're all through the Word of God in his 3.5-year ministry that we have recorded. But this is how Jesus handled gaps in others. He washed Judas's feet. He knew that Judas was going to betray him. But what did he do? He washed Judas's feet. I'd have told him, buddy, you can wash your own feet. But Jesus, you know, filled that gap and washed his feet. Number two, he prayed for Peter and followed up afterwards. He said he prayed for Peter, he interceded for Peter, said, Peter, I see a huge gap in you because you're so prideful and arrogant and big-mouthed and loud-mouthed. And there's a huge gap there. The enemy's trying to sift you like wheat. But you know what, brother, I've prayed for you. And once you come through all this stuff, you're going to strengthen your brothers because I prayed for you. And then Jesus also followed up with him afterwards of that. I'd have told Peter, Peter, you're on your own. You know, you're such a loud mouth, you get on my nerves constantly. You're constantly getting yourself in trouble with your big bad mouth. And then the third thing was he showed Thomas his wounds and said, you know, here, doubting Thomas. We all talk about doubting Thomas. And, you know, Jesus didn't show up and say, golly, Thomas, I've been with you for 3 freaking years. And you've seen me raise the dead and cast out demons and all this, and you don't believe that I'm the Messiah? You still don't believe. He didn't say that. He said, come here, Thomas, touch my hands and my feet. It's me. He showed Thomas his wounds. Jesus was a gap filler. Amen? And thank God he is. Just think about the gaps that he filled in you, right? And he's still filling them. Because we constantly leak, and we need our gaps filled up. Story that I thought of during worship today, and I'm going to tell you, I haven't always been. I should be up here telling you the stories of where I've got caught up in accusing other people and stuff, and I've done it, and not proud of it, because that's not being a gap filler, that's not being an intercessor, that's being someone that gets over in the enemy's camp. But I'm going to tell you one where I was able to. Actually, two of them. I'm going to tell two stories where God used me to fill a gap. And how you do this is doing it in love and grace, right? You don't try to go, oh, I told you so, you know, not that kind of stuff. You're not Holy Spirit Junior. But God will use you to help fill gaps. And you're going to find them in life. You're going to find them through other Christians. And one time, just this one story, two stories, is I was... It was in this community as well. I'm not going to tell you where, but it was in this community. And we were sitting down. We were having dinner. It was after a community fellowship, if I remember right. And we were sitting down, and I was sitting with other people that didn't attend our church, you know, but we're the body of Christ. We're all together. Sitting down, we're just having fellowship and eating. I mean, like eating with fellowship, yes. And it was after the service, and so we're eating, and this has been years ago, and I thank God that he gave me the ability to say what needed to be said in this moment, because something needed to be said, but God just, you know, has the Holy Spirit ever just given you wisdom, just like boom, like that, just drop something in your spirit to help you answer, just the way Jesus answered people, you know, and this person said, was talking about that in their church, they had talks about having a baby shower for somebody that had a baby out of wedlock, and he was against it. He's like, by gosh, they should be married, you know, this is the house of God, and you know, and we shouldn't, it's sin, you know, for them to have a baby out of wedlock, and yada yada. And I sat there and I was like, good gosh, something. I was like, my Tabascos, I'll just tell you, righteous anger started coming up. It's okay to have righteous anger, right? I mean, Jesus overturned the money changers' tables. But there's a way to present it and not being angry about it. And I just looked at this gentleman and I said, sir, I just want you to stop and think about this. I hear what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. But we need to show, I believe as Christians, we need to show love and grace. And if we were to live like that, if the body of Christ was to live like that, I want you to just think about this. They wouldn't even have had a baby shower for Jesus. And that just struck him. And I think they ended up having that baby shower there, which was a good news. And I could tell it really ministered. He's like, Mark, I never even thought about it like that. And I'm like, yeah, you know, because we, and guys, I've been there too. I'm going to be honest with you. I've been there too, because a lot of times we get those religious lenses on and that hypocritical attitude, the Pharisee attitude, you know, that we're more righteous than everybody else, and we need to drop that game like it's hot, okay? Need to drop it and go on and be like God and be full of grace and love And you can still be full of truth too. But guys, we got to love people into the kingdom. And see, when you're not being a gap filler, what happens is just like that gentleman, I'm just going to use that. And I've been that gentleman before in some situations, okay? And so I've been there. We can all get caught up in that religious stuff. But when we get caught up in that, we end up, we're not a gap filler. We are actually alienating people and pushing them away from Christ. That's not being a gap filler. And everybody said, amen. Another situation I was in, I got called on jury duty whenever I was in Beckham County. Then when we moved, and Jada's never got called, but and then we get moved to Dewey County, and I got called to go to Tologa one time. I'm going to take a little rabbit trail here real quick and tell you about Dewey County one. At Dewey County, this is why you need to always tell the truth, all right? So I was at Dewey County. I was like, man, so we drove over there, and I was following people from Leedy. So there's several people from Leedy got called to jury duty. We go over there, and they're doing that selection process, right? So we're all sitting out there, and then they call you up to the jury box up there where the jurors sit. And so I'm sitting up there with 11 other people. There's 12 of us up there, and the lawyers are each asking us questions, and then they have their say on who can stay, who needs to go. And so there was an older, lawyer was an older gentleman. He's probably in his 80s, and his wife was helping him because he was hard of hearing. Didn't have his hearing aids in that day. He was hard of hearing. And they come up there and they ask us questions, and I gave my response to the questions they were asking. And so it was their turn to eliminate somebody from the jury. And so I'm up there, and of course, if you've ever been selected, you're always saying, don't pick me, right? I'm ready to go home. And it was so funny because the older lawyer, he was sitting there and he was talking to his wife, and they were whispering, they were really loud whispering. Like this, you could hear him. The courtroom is really quiet. There's lots of leady people sitting out here, like where y'all are at. I'm up here on the jury, and the wife looks at him, and he's like, "How you going, huh?" I could tell you, huh? He couldn't hear what she was saying, and she goes, "The preacher, get rid of me." And I was like, "Amen, glory to God, I'm out of here." And it was so funny. I got delivered out of that gap that day, but. But the story I wanted to tell you was the one in Beckham County. That was a funny rabbit trail. All right, you can take that or leave it. But in Beckham County, when I was there, I got called onto a jury, and it was a man that had been caught trafficking drugs down I-40. And so he was on the stand, and I'm in the jury. I got selected to be there. And this gentleman was there, and... the lawyer was questioning him and grilling him pretty hard. And during the middle of all this, this man just broke down and started weeping. And I mean, it wasn't fake, guys. It wasn't somebody trying to get off the hook kind of thing. If you'd have been there, it was real. It was legit. And he just told him, he said, I can't tell you who I'm working for or whatever because they'll kill me. And he said the reason why he was doing this was to provide for his family. So I just can't get a job, and I just started doing this muling, is what they call it, drugs across state lines and stuff, and he said to take care of my kids and stuff, and it was legitimate. I mean, this guy was really torn, and he said, and if I tell you, of course the lawyer says, well, you should have thought of that before you got into this line of work. Yeah, well, I agree, but he didn't, and he's here, and so we go into our time of where we talk about the sentence that we're going to do, and I mean, he had... I can't remember exactly, but it was steep either way that it went. And we could, as a jury, we could have really thrown the book at him and sent him away for life, right? I'm sitting there with a compassionate heart thinking about his wife, his spouse, and his kids. And as we go around the room, it's amazing whenever people are put in a situation to judge how mean people can get. I'll just tell you that. And so as we're going around the room, everybody in this room is just wanting to throw the book at him. And everybody was bringing up stuff that had happened in their lives that, oh, I had a family member pass away from drugs because somebody like him was trafficking it, And I was like, I understand I have some of that in my own family and all that. And we went around, and I was praying under my breath. I was praying under my breath, like, Lord, because every one of us had to say something at the table. And I was like, Lord, give me something to say. give me something to say, because this is not going good for this man right now. I mean, everybody's wanting to throw the book at him. And it come around to me, and the Lord gave me something to say, thank God. And I didn't say Jesus told me, all right? God said. I didn't play the God card. I just said this because it's a principle in God's Word. I said, somebody told me, because the somebody was Jesus. Of course, I didn't say that to everybody there at the table. But I said, someone told me that if I was ever put in a place to judge somebody, to always fall to the side of grace and mercy. Because I need grace and mercy. You could hear a pin drop in that room. Because it wasn't my words, that was something coming from the Father into that room. Because I had prayed and interceded, God, give me something now. And it changed. Now, the guy still had a pretty steep sentence of going to prison, to jail, but we was able to lessen it to the lesser degree that we could for him. And he could get out on good behavior and all that. And so it turned the table in that room. And I was just thankful that God used me in that situation. Now, I could sit up here and tell you a whole lot of other stories where I got on the enemy's camp and was accusing him and got caught doing that too. But I'm not going to do that today, because I'm not going to give him glory to the enemy, because we can all get caught up in that. I want to be a gap filler. Amen? Look at somebody and say, I want to be a gap filler. All right. Real quickly, I'm going to give you six things if you're taking notes. This is the meat part of this message, on how to handle the gaps in others, because they're there. We all have them. Even as Christians, all of us have gaps. Before I get into showing you or teaching you these six, how to handle, how Jesus handled gaps in others, these six things, and how we are to go on and handle these gaps in others, I want you to realize this. You have a relationship with God, right? Okay? When you get saved, you have a relationship with Jesus. You have a relationship with the Father through Jesus. What you need to realize as a Christian is that that gap has been filled by Jesus. You can't do anything. You're saved by God's grace, okay? You're saved. And so when the enemy comes to lie and he tries to, you know, there's condemnation, reminds you of your past, guilt, shame, yada, yada. And what he's trying to do, sorry, I said the yada, yada, yada. If Jade was here, she'd have thrown the book at me, the Bible. But if I got to quit doing that, I'm catching myself doing it. But whenever you allow the enemy to do that, you're allowing that the enemy to widen that gap. And God wants you to know, you got to know this, and so you can stop the enemy. That gap is sealed. There is no gap. You have a relationship with God the Father. Amen? And it's a love relationship, so I want you to remember that. Now, what he wants you to do because that gap is shut, he wants you to take that same thing into your relationship with other people and close gaps. Everybody following me? Be a gap filler, all right? And this is how you do it. Six things. I turned my clicker off. Sorry, guys. How to handle gaps in others. Number one, here's 95% of the battle. Expect them to have gaps, because they're going to have them. So what you need to do with family, friends, coworkers is walk in love and forgiveness. Don't let the enemy knock you off of walking in love and forgiveness. And everybody said, amen. Number two, don't try to fill their gaps, all right? You are not Holy Spirit Junior. The more you try to fill someone's gaps, the more you're going to push them away from the Lord, the more you're going to alienate them. Number three, give thanks to God for them, even when they're acting a fool, all right? Give thanks to God for them. You got to start training yourself to see the good in others. On your worst day, God always sees the good in you. So you need to do that, extend that grace and love to other people, all right? Expect them to have gaps, because they're going to, so walk in love and forgiveness. Don't try to fill their gaps. You're not the Holy Spirit Junior. Give thanks to God for them. Train yourself to see the good in others. I'm going to give you a little hint for those that are married here this morning. There's going to be days when the closest one to you, your spouse, is going to be having a bad day. That's the day not to point out their gaps. That's the day to be a gap filler and walk in love and forgiveness. And everybody said, and everything will be good on the home front if you do that. That's, you got to walk in, you're just like, my gosh, you need to go back to bed and wake up on the other side of the, no, don't do that, okay? Yeah, don't do that. Don't say that. walk in love and grace. All right, number four, realize, this is a big one too, guys, realize the high probability of projection. And let me explain that. A lot of times, the gaps that we see in others are the gaps that we see in ourselves. And so we project that onto other people. That's why I wrote on there, fill your own gaps. You're responsible for your gap, not their gap, but your gap that you're seeing in them. All right, number five, stay filled with God's grace and love. Stay filled with God's grace and love. That's every day, asking to baptize you afresh in his love and grace. And then number six is commit to intercession. Be a gap filler. And that's not just through prayer, because we always relate intercession to prayer, but that's just being in relationship with people and how you talk to people, how you interact with people. Always be a gap filler instead of one that alienates. And everybody said, amen. All right, I want to close with one more story today, okay, and one scripture. There's a story on a certain island. I don't know exactly where this island's at, but it's a true story that on this island the custom is whenever a young man and a young woman marry, is the young man is to present a dowry to her father of a cow or cows, you know, plural. And depending on how beautiful this girl is, her attributes and all these things, that's how many cows that a young man would give for, you know, a young lady. And on this island, it was just known that, man, the most prettiest girl and, you know, that has a good personality and everything, the most that any father has ever gotten is up to six cows. That's it. And in this one situation, there was a couple, this young man, he had his eyes on this girl, and she was kind of homely looking, all right? And I'm just going to leave it at that, all right? So you can get the mental picture. She just, and here's what her own father thought. Her own father thought, if I get two cows, I'll be doing good. If I get one cow, I'm taking it. You know, that's the way the father was. Well, this young man shows up, and he blows the whole island away, and he presents to this father eight cows for this young woman. And, of course, the father said, you betcha, you can have her for eight cows. And because this man saw something in her, this young man, and she turned out to be the most beautiful, best personality, the best woman on the island is what she turned out to be, because this young man saw that she was worth eight cows. And number eight is new beginnings. Now, I'm going to relate that story to us. You are an eight-cow Christian. I almost titled this message Eight Cows. I may have to redo this message and title it Eight Cows. You're an eight-cow Christian. That's what Jesus thought about you. He purchased you with his own life. And my dad and I were up here having communion together this morning, had a real intimate moment together with the Lord. And Dad, when he's in his prayer, Dad said, Father, I don't know how you did it. I don't know how you turned your back on your own son, you know, but I thank you that you did, so my son and I can stand here in freedom having communion together, and that we're saved and our whole household is saved. And this is the last scripture I want to give you today. Is I don't know why I keep turning my clicker off, I'm sorry, is John 15 verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And that's what Jesus did for us, and he calls us friends, by the way. Amen. He filled that gap so that we could have friendship with him and friendship with the Father. That's what the Father wants, is fellowship. And I want us all to leave here today being gap fillers. Amen. Look at somebody and say, I'm a gap filler. All right. And look at somebody and say, I'm worth eight cows. You're an eight-cow Christian. All right? All right. All right. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning, and I want to lead you in a prayer this morning. As we do this every Sunday, it's the prayer of salvation, and it's where actually the Apostle Paul told us in Romans 10, he said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this prayer of salvation, and even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with him. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Is everybody ready to mind the gap this week? All right, I want everybody to stand up in here, and I'm going to speak a blessing over you. And I want you all to have a happy Memorial Day weekend with your families. And just thank God for our freedom that we have as Americans and as Christians. So I'm going to speak this blessing over you. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Have a happy Memorial Day weekend. Love y'all.
The atmosphere is shame.